and welcome back to Kidman Talk. This is your host, Carl Bastian, coming to you from Kidology.org, and I am so glad that you are hanging out with me here today. This is episode number 143, sponsored by The Amazing Chemistry Show, Faith Labs, Season 2. You asked for it. Josh has delivered. I'll be telling you a little bit about that in just a little while. Hey, I'm going to be having a little bit of a trip down sentimental road today, talking about my birthday, some life lessons that I have learned, COVID recap as we anticipate the fall and what's coming down the road. I didn't even really have a great topic for today, but I wanted to just spend some time hanging out with you, talking to you, thanking you, and seeing what God might do if we just take a little time today to talk and reflect and see what the Holy Spirit might guide us to talk about today. So sit back, relax, get ready, as we are going to talk some Kidman here on the podcast today. So thank you for taking some time to hang out with me on the podcast. As always, I appreciate and I'm honored by the time you spend with me. So this is another opportunity for us just to hang out. I'm always so blown away and so blessed and so encouraged by the feedback that I get from you guys as you email, tweet, direct message, Facebook message, email, all the different ways that we have to communicate, and appreciate it so very much. So never feel like, hey, I don't want to send Carl a note. He's too busy, or he probably gets tons of stuff, because I do get them. I do appreciate them. And no, I do not get hundreds. People always think, oh, you probably get hundreds. I do get a lot of email. We all get a lot of email. But the emails from you who listen and who are encouraged or asking for questions, those are the highlight emails, right? It's all the spams and all the newsletters and all the other stuff that bogs us down and that we have to plow through every day, except those Kidology newsletters, right? No, those are the ones that are worth diving into, because there's just gold in them, their Kidology newsletters. But I'm right in the midst of the masterclass I'm doing right now on Write That Book. We've got a bunch of students in there, and I got to tell you, you guys are in for a treat. The books that are going to be written through this masterclass are going to be amazing. The different topics, the different categories, the insights. We've got a student literally on the other side of the globe, all over the country. I can't tell you because it's top secret. They're working on it. I'm working on a brand new book on a topic I've never written before. I'm super excited about it. And it's really neat to see what is going to be coming out of this masterclass. And if you missed it, I probably will do this again. And right now I'm thinking about next summer. And yes, I'm going to be repeating some of the masterclasses from this year. So be watching those Kidology newsletters, because yes, I will be repeating the proactive leadership and some of the creative workshops and things, the masterclasses I did this last year. And I can't wait to do them again for some new students. Now, some of you are watching online, you see this little beard I got going here. This is my COVID beard. I don't know if I'll keep this. I should do a poll online, but I went backpacking. I let the beard grow, and I'm kind of having fun with it. People either love it or hate it. I'm kind of keeping it just because I'm enjoying the responses. People either love it or they're like, shave it. But while my wife's okay with it, I'm letting it just stay for now. Hey, I just had my birthday. I turned 51. Some of you might remember last year when I turned 50, that was the big 5-0, right? I had just as is normal, that reflective time where you think about, you know, man, what have I accomplished? What have I done? What have I invested my life in? What have I learned? And I wrote a little ebook. I spent my birthday last year writing a book. We went up to the mountains, just enjoyed a day of chilling, actually a couple of days, and I wrote a book. So I want to review some of those things I wrote in that book and kind of have some fun exploring that. But first of all, I want to tell you about Josh Denhart's Faith Labs at Home Season 2. I got to do Season 1 with my son. We homeschool. And years ago when that came out, I don't know if it was years ago. Anyway, it was a while ago. And I loved his science home devotions. And they were fantastic. My son really enjoyed them. And I coincidentally asked Josh about, hey, are you going to come out with another one of those? And I didn't know. I was asking him on the day that he was releasing Season 2. And the email just hadn't gone out. And I was so excited that he has done that. So what you'll want to do is get on your computer and just go right to faithlabseason2.com. You can watch a video from Josh. You can learn about it. There's video components. There's worship components. It's a really neat partnership between the church and the home. And so it's something that if you're a children's pastor, you can work with Josh and licenses for your families. And so you can work together. If you're just a mom or dad, and this is something you want to do with your kids in your home, of course, you can do that as well. But everything Josh does, he does with a level of excellence that is just off the charts. And so it's amazing to check out. So please do check it out and invest in your kids. The way he brings together the material world, the science world, and then the truths of the gospel and just God's truth, and brings it together in a way that's so fun. The videos are so fun. I love the little mini Josh that he interacts with on screen. It's fantastic. So you'll want to check that out. I'm going to do Season 2 with my son. I can't wait to do it. I've already ordered mine, and we'll be introducing that as we're kicking off the next year of school. And so many of us now are having to do online school. Homeschool might be new for you, or you're doing a hybrid some days at school and some days at home, and you want to make that time count, and you want to do it with quality. So definitely check that out. Boy, what a season of life and ministry this has been. Wow, when this all hit back early in 2020, how crazy it was, and what a roller coaster ride it has been. I have, as I've talked on this podcast, it's been hard, but it's been fun. I've enjoyed the creativity. I've been in the podcast studio all day today recording for my Pastor Carl's Bedtime Stories podcast, one of the ways I'm trying to reach the kids who can't come to church. We're reopened. We're running about 50% of our normal kids, and so that's something I'm doing. I've launched the whole PastorCarl.com, a way for me to minister to kids who can't come to church. Not only my kids, they just click on the Sunday tab, and there's videos there for them and parent discussions and bonus videos, but also beyond the kids at my own church. And some of you have been a part of the webinars I've done, and many of you have used the Kids Church Online videos that I've enjoyed creating, and the social distance games. Just go to kidology.org/social distance games, and you can download those and the other resources that I've been creating. I've enjoyed the creativity. I've enjoyed this opportunity to kind of break the mold and to do ministry differently. And I'm really excited about how the church is going to look different as this era of ministry comes to a close. And yes, it is going to come to a close. But there's some things I'm hoping are not going to end. The ministry to parents, the equipping of parents, the online ministry, the strategic intentionality of reaching families who are outside of the church. We're already talking about how are we going to do our fall outreach differently, because we're not doing our big old trunk or treat, just like we didn't get to do our big extravaganza. And so we're working on something, which I'll tell you about later, to equip our families to reach the kids who come to their doors for trunk or treat. And it's something I hope to share in Kidology and let you benefit from the effort as well. And so it's been a neat season to just not do what you did last year and to think about what we can do better, what we can do differently. And some of the things that we just did on autopilot to say, hey, it wasn't bad, but what are we going to do different? What are we going to do better going forward? But what I thought I might do on this podcast is, in reflecting on birthdays, New Year's, these are all good times for us to learn and to grow and to reflect. And so last year I did this ebook. Now you can go to kidology.org/50lessons and you can download the little PDF that I wrote last year. And I had a lot of fun doing that. I actually had way more than 50 lessons. I had really a lot of fun just on my phone in a notepad, just prayerfully thinking and reflecting on what are the life principles. I've always been what I'd like to say, a collector of wisdom, of proverbs, of quotes, of things that, you know, mentors and my dad and my mom and people who have spoken to my life, sometimes lovingly, sometimes painfully. What were some of those lessons that I learned? And I enjoyed collecting those, kind of putting them in order, wordsmithing them. And I had over 100, over double. And so I had to go, I thought of doing a volume one, volume two, and I thought, no, I'm going to narrow this down to 50. And it's something that I've enjoyed revisiting now that it's my birthday. So I wrote a little introduction, and I got to tell you the story behind the quote before the 50. It's from Calvin and Hobbes. I have a t-shirt that I've had 4 years, literally since Bible college. And I joke with my wife that I want to be buried in this t-shirt. Now, I won't be around to enforce that, so I don't know if she'll actually do it. But I've got a t-shirt, and I'm like, you can put it under whatever nice outfit I'm dressed in, but I'd love to be buried in this t-shirt. It's a Calvin and Hobbes t-shirt, and it has one line on it, and it says, God placed me on this earth to accomplish a set number of things. Right now, I am so far behind, I will never die. And I've always loved that quote because I do feel that way. I feel like, man, I've got so many ideas, so many plans, so many things I want to do that I know that I will never accomplish them. I know that when the time does come that the Lord calls me home, I could live to 200. Wouldn't that be awesome? But that won't happen. But I could live to be 200 and I still will never have finished and accomplished all the ideas and dreams and plans and ideas, you know, of things that I would love to do, the books I'd like to write and the places I'd like to go and the curriculum or the lessons I'd like to write or the things I'd love to do. In fact, part of the podcast that I'm enjoying doing is just creating a legacy of my stories that I love to tell so that they can continue to be told after the Lord has taken me home, which I do hope is quite a ways away from now. But let me just walk through some of these. I'm not going to go through all 50. I'm going to watch the time on the screen here and keep it to the usual length of this podcast. But some of these I think are worth revisiting because they're things that help us in our ministry. Number one, always assume the best. The most unlikely explanation could be true. If not, because usually it isn't, you have shown the same grace that God has shown you. So often when people come to you and they're upset or something goes wrong or you're angry, we tend to assume the worst and then react based on that worst. And it's always so much helpful if we assume the best. Think of some crazy scenario where maybe this happened and react on that, because sometimes it actually comes true and then, wow, we look so gracious. But even if it hasn't, we're being gracious and God is always gracious of us. Think of the times that people have assumed the worst of us and how much that's hurtful when we always feel like our intentions were the best and we were trying our best and we don't like it. So it really comes out of doing to others as you'd have them do unto you. And that goes right along with number two here. When you're upset, always start by asking questions. This is so powerful, man. When you're going to go to someone and you're going to talk to them because you're upset about something that they did, always, 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 always start by asking questions, all right? And not loaded questions, not you know, antagonistic questions, but sincere questions, all right? Because you may learn something that, let me just read it. You may learn something before you say something you'll regret. So remember, even a fool appears wise when he holds his tongue. That's both in Proverbs, and several famous people have been attributed with saying things that are similar. So you go into the office of that person and you say, hey, I was just curious why you did this or why you said this. And often their explanation immediately resolves the conflict. You know, it's kind of funny. As soon as I start to report a podcast, my notifications, like I'm literally like blowing up with all kinds of irrelevant notifications. Isn't that the way it is? That's life. Number three, And this one I got from my dad. You can always postpone a bad decision. All right. If it's a good decision, it'll still be a good one tomorrow. So sleep on it. You know, a while back, I was at the car dealership and I was buying a car. This is years ago. And boy, you know, buying a car is a big decision. And unless you go to those places where it's like on the window marked, there's always this negotiating process, right? And they, you know, they try to haggle you down and they try to tell you all this stuff. And unfortunately, there's a lot of dishonesty going on. You know, they're telling you, well, this is a sticker price. I'm going to make no money on this car. That is not true, right? They wouldn't be in business, you know, and not make any money on the car. And you got to go into this knowing they're just lying to you the whole time. As long as you're happy with the price, that's all that matters. And so, you know, I was going through this negotiating process, and then they go in the back room, then the manager comes out, right? And you know, he gives you some story about inventory and goals and all this stuff. And it's a bunch of baloney, but you know, you just play along and you act like you believe him because it's just all part of the game, right? And I got down to where I really felt like, okay, this is a good price. I'd done my research. It was in the ballpark of a fair price. And then I just said, you know what? My dad always told me, you can always postpone a bad decision. So I'm just going to go home and I'm just going to come back tomorrow. Well, they do not like that because they'll tell you this price won't be here tomorrow. They'll give you all these reasons. So I did something pretty crazy, and you can steal this idea. I said, well, then let me just call my dad. So I called my dad on the phone, and I'm like, hey, Dad, I'm at the car dealership. I'm looking at this car, and here's the price, and they've done this with interest rates and this with, you know, the trade-in and stuff. And my dad's talking to me. Then I started just having this one-way conversation with my dad. It was so funny. And my dad started to realize that I was not even responding to what he was saying. And I started saying, yeah, you're right, Dad. Yeah, you're right, Dad. I remember that, Dad. And boy, these notifications, just it never does this. I'm getting like a bazillion of them. And he finally says, are you using me? And so I says, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. And I put the phone, and I says, you know, my dad told me I can always postpone a bad decision and to come back tomorrow. And this guy's like, this dude's like in his 40s and he's calling his dad. And that's when they said, all right, well, we really respect your dad. Sounds like a really wise dad. How about if we gave you interest-free, you know, for the whole term of the car? And then I bought the car. But it was kind of funny. But it's really true. You can always postpone a bad decision, even if you think it's great. If it might be a bad decision, just postpone it and, you know, make a decision tomorrow. So here's the next one. Don't avoid criticism. Seek it out. All right. If a critic is 98% wrong, all right, that means they're 2% right. So seek out criticism. And, you know, you've always heard keep your friends close and your enemies closer. The people who are your biggest critics in your life, you want them in your life. All right. People who are always, you know, poking holes in your plans and always raining on your parade. Man, those are the people you go to first. And you say, you know, I got this idea for this event or something I want to do, and I wonder what you think about it. And let them be your advisors, because while they're negative and they're going to be critical, they're going to reveal to you, it's good intel, what others are going to maybe think but not say, right? Because your friends, they like you, so they don't want to discourage you. So often they'll think it and they won't say it. So don't avoid criticism. Number five, don't neglect to remember. Don't neglect to remember, thank. I thought I had a typo here, but it's just me. I can't read. Don't neglect to remember, thank, and publicly acknowledge those who have helped you. All right. Anytime we experience any kind of success, an event goes great, anything that goes well, we never did it on our own. All right. People helped us. All right. They helped us by inspiring us. They literally helped us with finances or resources or providing something or getting something out of the way. And if we're ever up front, we need to make sure we acknowledge those people. All right. So don't forget to remember who those people are, to thank them, to publicly acknowledge them. I've learned that. I enjoy doing that because the people who helped you, they know they helped you. And they see you maybe getting applause or getting accolades or getting some public exposure or something. They know that they helped you. And it's not a pride issue on their part. Often if they're godly people, they're just happy that they got to help you. But they will begin to notice if you never acknowledge them. And so it's really fun to just take that spotlight that's on you and redirect it to the people who have helped you. And I have loved over the years when I'm at conferences and things to just go up to people who way back before Kidology had grown or before I'd had some of the neat opportunities I've had to go up to people and just say, hey, I remember when you did this for me and thank you so much, or you believed in me, you gave me a chance, and I'm so thankful for that. So I am going to mute my laptop. It has never been this obnoxious before. I just have to remember to unmute it when I need it later. So important. All right, number six, when you mess up, fess up, own it, make right what you can, and then move on and leave it behind. Don't let it define your future. All of us mess up. All of us make mistakes. Sometimes they're blatant, bold, sinful, or selfish, or whatever. Most of the time, we don't feel like they're totally our fault. There was a blind spot, or was a oversight, or a mistake. Don't make excuses. Just own it. You might feel like it was 30% your fault and 70% someone else's fault. Don't make excuses. I've really learned and appreciated from bosses who said, I don't want to hear excuses. Just own it. Tell me what you did wrong. Just own it, learn from it, and move on. And don't let it define you, all right? Own it, fix what you can, apologize, whatever you need to do, but then move on. I love that scripture is filled with stories of sinners, of people who have blown it. You think of King David, you think of Peter, you think of Doubting Thomas, you think of Jonah, I mean, David, all, I mean, scripture is just full of people who just, we're all human. That's what the gospel's all about. And the faster you own it, and the faster you name it and claim it and own it, and the faster you can move on from that. I love this one. Time management is a myth. You can't manage time. You can only spend it. So spend it wisely. That's why I do the master class on managing time and prioritizing time. And I love to give people tips and strategies on how to, well, I guess I said you don't manage time, but how to spend their time wisely, how to choose how you spend your time and what you spend your time on. And I could go into a whole podcast just on that, but I won't. Number eight, all right, maybe we'll just do 10 of these on this podcast. Number eight, always take the high road, all right? Man, this is so important. Always take the high road. It's lonely, but you'll go further in life, farther in life, all right? Always take the high road. And what that means is you need to make a conscious decision that no matter what is done to you, no matter how unfairly you're treated, no matter how someone speaks against you or maligns you or steals from you or does something unfair to you, that you are never going to retaliate, that you are not going to manipulate, you're not going to undermine, that you are going to always choose to take the high road. That as far as it depends on you, you're going to live at peace with everyone. And that's hard, because there are people who are going to backstab you. They're going to speak behind you. I'll have someone come to me and say, man, this person said this about you. And I will have the means and opportunity to speak against them or to deprive them of an opportunity or to cut them out of something. And I have to make the decision, the choice, that I'm just going to take the high road. I'm gonna treat them as though I don't even know about what they did. And sometimes I want them to know that I know that they know that I know that they know that I know. But I say, you know what? Because I haven't always been perfect, all right? And people have shown me grace and people have forgiven me and given me opportunity that I don't deserve. And so you have to decide, I'm just always gonna take the high road. And in the long run, that will serve you so much better. There's no tit for tat. There's, you know, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, right? And it's not that you even want revenge. It's just forgiveness. You know, one of the most powerful books I ever read on forgiveness, it's called Total Forgiveness. I'm sorry, I forget the author's name. And he talks about forgiveness is irrelevant to the person being sorry. Forgiveness is not just saying, you know, I'm going to forgive them. You know, it's beyond that. Total forgiveness is not just, well, I forgive you. It's going so far as I want their success. I want them to succeed. It's praying for God's blessing on their life. And that sounds nuts because they don't deserve God's blessing. But why do I forgive them to that extent? Because that's exactly what God did for me. All right. I want to succeed, right? I want God's blessing. I don't deserve it. And if I expect God to forgive me and bless me, then I need to actually want God's blessing on those that I forgive. So I got to always take the high road. That leads right into number 9. It looks like I put these in a good order. Be the first to forgive, even if you're the only one to do so. Unforgiveness is a poison that you prepare for someone else, but take yourself. Likewise, bitterness is anger in a crock pot. Turn it off or you'll get burned. There are so many people who are hindered in life because of their inability to forgive. If you've been hurt, you've been betrayed, someone has done something to you, until you forgive them, you are hindered in your own ability to move forward. That bitterness is like it's anger in a crock pot, and it just keeps simmering and simmering and simmering, and it keeps you from being able to move on with your life. I remember a situation in our family where my wife and I were very hurt by somebody, and we found that we just kept discussing it and talking about it, and our meals became discussions of this person and what they had done, and we finally reached a point where we realized they're not talking about us. They've moved on. They did all this damage and all this hurt, and then they moved on with their life. They look happy. We look on social media. They're like probably off hurting other people, but they're fine. They have left us in their dust. We're still hurt and discussing it while they've moved on. And they're living rent-free in our brain, ruining our meals, ruining our days. And that is wrong. It is wrong for them to still be impacting our life on a daily basis when they have moved on. So what we need to do is we need to move on. And the only way you move on is to completely forgive them and to completely release them and to actually wish God's blessing on them just as you want God's blessing on you. And the day you release them and forgive them, man, this burden comes off you. So let me just say, man, if you have been hurt, if you have been betrayed, if you've been lied about, wrongly fired, wrongly treated, whatever it is, and there's a good chance someone listening to this podcast has been, you need to get down on your knees. You need to cry. You need to weep. You need to cry out to God. You need to lay it all down, and you need to ask God to give you the supernatural ability to completely forgive and release. I didn't say forgive and forget, because you'll never forget, but you can ask God to give you complete forgiveness for that person so that you can just move on. And then you make a decision. We're not going to talk about it. We're not going to discuss it. And when people ask you about that person, you will never mention what they did for you. And I catch myself sometimes, the person will come up and I want to rehash, and it's like, no, I forgave them. It's like it never happened. And if someone's forgiven me of something, I don't want them bringing up, you know, something, offense I did to them. If they've forgiven me, I want that to be wiped clean, right? And so I've got to do the same thing to them. Remember, if you want to not be judged, you must not judge others, all right? That's so powerful, all right? So number 10, and we'll wrap it up with 10 here. Man, I got 50. Maybe I'll do this as a theme for the next couple podcasts. Number 10, if you have a choice between buying a thing or buying an experience, always choose the experience. This is something that happens as you get older, right? I just had my birthday, and people were asking me, you know, what do you want for your birthday, right? I'm the guy that has everything, right? And it's like, man, I do not want another thing for my house, right? I'd rather go out to a good restaurant, eat a great meal that is like, I don't have to find a place in the house for it. I'm trying to purge stuff, right? And that's why for my 50th, I wanted to go on this backpacking trip with my buddy Pat. He was turning 40, so, you know, I had a hard time keeping up with him. Just kidding. Well, a little bit true. But, man, experiences are so much more valuable in life. In fact, you might even want to decide for Christmas and birthdays and anniversaries, spend your money on an experience. I mean, go to Disney World if you have to, because stuff is exciting in the moment and then it just becomes clutter. Experiences become memories. And sometimes you got to buy stuff for the experience. I mean, there was some stuff I had to buy to go on the backpacking trip, but the experience is where the value is, all right? So I got to turn my volume back on, right? Because I got to hit the closing music. There it is. Well, thanks for spending a little time with me hanging out. I hope it was enjoyable for you. If you enjoy just talking through some of these life lessons, let me know. And then maybe I'll just do the same thing. And maybe we'll work through all 50 of these life lessons, tell you some of the stories behind them, maybe chat about them a little bit. Do check out Faith Labs at Home by Josh Denhart. If you've never had Josh out to your church for his amazing chemistry show, look into that. I'll link in the show notes the video. We had him to our church and to our school. He is just an amazing investment that you can make in your church and in your community. But thanks for hanging out with me. Thank you for being a part of Kidology. If you haven't joined Kidology, that's the best way to support this ministry, and it's the gift that keeps on giving to your ministry. I'll see you online.